everyone. Welcome back to Ditto. Super excited to be here with you today. Matt, welcome. How are you doing?
Doing great. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing well. We've had a couple of rainy days here, and I feel like when it's rainy, it makes me tired.
It's rainy is definitely a cozy whatever. It makes you really want to just do nothing and watch a show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to have rainy days, right? Does it rain a lot in DC?
It's been raining a lot recently. But once summer hits, we'll maybe have a random like summer thunderstorm. But besides that,
they are fun.
But right now, this whole week, we got a lot of rain.
Humidity starting to kick in DC, right?
Yeah, especially with this rain. Once it starts to get warm again, we're gonna be sweating.
Just constantly sweating.
Yeah, so fun.
How fun.
Yeah.
Well, good. I know the weather in Utah at least is starting to feel like summer, and it just makes me so much happier when there's sunshine and I get up and I can hear birds and the sun's just coming up. Life is just a whole lot better when the weather is cooperating. I don't know if I could ever. Have you ever been to Alaska?
No.
It's rough, and I don't know how people do it. Like, I hear 4 months out of the year-ish are beautiful.
Yeah.
But the other, 8 months? Oh, my gosh. Just darkness and cold and...
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I could do it.
Live in Alaska. It'd be hard.
No. Yeah. I need the sunshine.
Anyways. Totally. I have a dad joke for you. Do you want to hear it
today? Of course. Let's hear it.
It's actually a soccer joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so it's going to be especially funny for, well, of course, you and maybe our audience. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
It's not that good. I'm just going to preface it with that. But nonetheless, here it is. Why did Cinderella get kicked off the soccer team?
Because she didn't have a ball. I don't know.
Close. That was close. Because she kept running away from the ball.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good. I like that one.
That's pretty good, right? Yeah. Cinderella, she ran away from her ball. And in soccer, you have to go towards the ball. You don't have to run. Yeah. 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 Anyways,
yeah.
That's my joke.
That's a good one.
What grade would you give that? 80? Like a B?
Yeah.
Or like an 83% of solid B?
Yeah, it was pretty solid. Okay. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, nice.
Well, I'll come better. I'm going to shoot for like a B+ our next episode, so get ready, everybody.
Okay, sounds good. Looking forward to it. Can't wait. also, can't wait to get into our topic today. I feel like today's topic is a really good one and something that most people have probably heard or at least discussed, but I think that's why... It's really important, but right. Matt, would you like to explain to us what the growth mindset is?
I would be happy to. In fact, I am very excited to explain this. We have mentioned this, I know, numerous times in past recordings, Ashley, but I'm really happy we're finally unpacking it and defining it. Because I think it definitely warrants its own episode because of how influential and how impactful this orientation can be. So here we go. Mindset, and more specifically, growth mindset. It's essentially growth mindset versus fixed mindset, but we'll be concentrating, of course, on this growth component of this. What does it mean? It's essentially this. So when we're thinking of growth mindset, we're thinking of effort and learning. That's dumbing it down, really trying to distill it down in just two words, versus fixed mindset, which is innate and unchangeable. And so oftentimes, actually, when I'm explaining this, and I think we mentioned this again in a past episode, but I'll say it again. When I'm teaching this, I go, think of growth as dynamic, especially for athletes and coaches out there. When you're thinking of something that's dynamic, like dynamic stretching, you're moving. There's effort, there's learning, there's movement, right? When we're thinking of a fixed mindset orientation, think of that as static. So when you're doing static stretching, static movement, you're not moving. Things are unchangeable. So that's how I, at least how I like to dumb it down for a lot of people and how we can start to explain this. Now, I'm going to steal a definition from one of my favorites because he covered this, I think, in a few episodes of his own podcast. So Andrew Huberman, he's my best friend. He just doesn't know it. This is what he said about growth mindset. And I think he says this just beautifully. Growth mindset is the process of distancing your identity from performance. I'm going to pause there. That warrants a pause. And rather attaching your identity and your efforts and your sense of motivation to effort itself. And so instead of identifying as win-loss or good-bad, you're identifying or attaching your identity essentially to effort in learning. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We're tracking? Okay. So from the scientific standpoint, because this is all always really, really important, and I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that might find this really interesting. Dr. Carol Dweck is the individual that essentially authored this research. And it was years ago when she started to conduct all of these different research around mindset orientation. And through her research, she very, in layman terms, distilled it down for all of us that tried to understand it into two different mindsets, growth versus fixed mindset. She has an amazing book out there. I highly recommend it for anyone, really, because it's super relatable to mothers and business individuals and, of course, athletes, just really anybody wanting to be a better human being. This is going to be a fantastic read. And it's a fairly easy read. I wouldn't say it's for someone that's in junior high, but definitely someone high school level reading and above, this would be an awesome book. It's called Mindset. And then the subtitle is The New Psychology of Success. And she breaks down a lot of the research that went into discovering and unpacking and, you know, finding these different attributes that go into growth versus fixed mindset. A caveat that I think is worth mentioning, Ash, is you're not one or the other. It's not that you're all growth or you're all fixed. There's a spectrum with this. It's very contextual. Now, can one be more growth mindset oriented with most, if not all, areas in their life versus fixed? Sure, but they're not going to be fully growth and no fixed. You have different contexts. You have different personalities. You have different domains, different times of your life, different evolutions of your life where you're going to experience both. And sometimes it's a little more growth than it is compared to being more fixed. But nonetheless, there are differences, right? And I think that's worth pointing out because having just a growth mindset and no fixed mindset orientation can, in fact, be fixed. I mean, if you think about it, because if you think, oh, I'm good, I've learned everything I can, I'm as good as I can be, and then maybe, in fact, you are really, really good. You're the starter on your team. You're the smartest person in your class, whatever. Well, then you're more fixed because that isn't continuing to grow. And that's not continuing to learn, right? And that in itself is fixed. And so think of this, again, as something that is fluid. It's on a spectrum. But I would venture to guess that most of us listening to this podcast right now innately want to be more growth mindset oriented. And we can do this by valuing effort and learning over really anything else that we go into. And so it's very much effort over outcome. And so Dr. Dweck's research really emphasizes, you know, learning from setbacks, learning from losses. And rather than, I love this phrase, I'm trying to remember it. I think this is directly from her book. Losses become data for growth, not a reflection of self-worth. And so you're utilizing all of these experiences, especially the setbacks and the losses, as something that you can learn from and something that you can grow from. It's a very resilient type of orientation as well, where you're viewing losses as through the growth, through the lens of growth, and to be able to build resiliency, especially in something like soccer where setbacks are inevitable, it's obviously going to be extremely beneficial. And so with that in mind, again, your losses can tend or would be some of your biggest teachers. So if we are growth mindset oriented, we're viewing that through those lenses. Now, I've gotten this before from students and coaches and athletes. It's like, okay, so I don't really care if I lose, or I don't really care if I win, or if I do lose, that means I'm not upset, right? Or if I do win, that means I can't be too jubilant and too excited and proud of my accomplishments. No, not at all. It's just not getting stuck in those instances, especially from an emotional standpoint, which directly correlates a lot with our psychological orientation. It's just recognizing when you're there too often. Mm-hmm. Because especially with losses, and I know you've experienced this, you can go down rabbit holes and more stress and more anxiety starts to set in, right? And then you overthink, and more stress and more anxiety start to set in. And then you're feeding more of this fixed orientation where things mm-hmm. aren't unchangeable. Things are innate. You're not going to be the fastest, and you never will, right? And so there's a lot of things that can go into that. So one thing that is mentioned, especially in applied sports psychology, and I'm going to get your take on a lot of this here in just a minute. I know I'm rambling here. Is what is called this not yet mentality. And I know we actually talked about this in our soccer school episode last time, Ashley. So instead of after, especially a failure, a loss or a setback, instead of saying I failed, athletes can adopt a not yet perspective. And so even though I lost, I haven't developed the skill sets yet, technically, mentally, tactically, etc., to be able to overcome why we lost. And so not yet, I'm not there yet, but we're learning and we're putting more effort, deliberate effort, especially into those areas that need to be addressed so that in theory, you're not going to fail as much. And then in theory, when you do fail, inevitably again, you're still learning. And you're not getting as down and as emotional as a result of that. And so I have some growth mindset oriented questions for you, Ashley. You ready? Okay.
Yes, I'm ready.
Here's my first one. What's a failure or setback in your career that, in looking back, became a launching pad for growth?
I feel like I have a lot, so I have to decide which one to choose.
Yeah, totally.
Honestly, I mean, I can speak about this one because kind of relevant, and Jeff just mentioned it in our pre-show discussion, but I think it was in 2018, maybe. I got a PK blocked in one of our games, and I was pretty upset and distraught about it. And instead of like letting that failure or setback like really upset me and devastate me and steer me away from ever wanting to step up and take a PK again, I decided that I wanted to be more prepared and I wanted to train more and do everything I could to overcome that failure or that mistake. It really upset me because the person that saved it said on social media, like, oh, I could see the fear in her eyes. I knew I was going to save it. Oh, and I was just like, shut up. Because I was like, I wasn't scared, but whatever. Right. Like, I just didn't hit it well, you know. And so I decided to practice and just be prepared for whenever the opportunity presented itself again. And I knew that it would. And I have been doing really well ever since. I recently got a PK saved again. But because of that previous experience, I'm not sweating it because I've already overcome this situation. Like, I know exactly how to overcome it because I already did that. Like, I know, like, okay, I know what to do better next time. I'm going to prepare better. I'm going to practice a few things. I just like didn't do this or didn't do this as well as I normally do. And I know that I can. And so I'm now better prepared to like overcome this as opposed to like just being scared and never wanting to take one again. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. I heard a lot of effort and a lot of learning. And so in theory, I would describe your experience as growth mindset oriented, which obviously mm-hmm. is a wonderful and healthy way to go about this. I want to bring people's attention to, once again, our definition from Andrew Huberman. Distancing your identity from performance and rather attaching it, your identity, to effort itself. Ashley did that. Now, was she mad about it? Was she emotional about it after? You just said you were, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you didn't get stuck in that orientation, a fixed orientation. You recognize what needed to be done. You didn't attach yourself to that one PK and go, oh, I suck at PKs. Or even broadly speaking, oh my gosh, I suck at soccer now. Mm-hmm. No, it was, I'm attaching my effort or my identity now to getting better and putting more effort to where it needs to be so that in theory I can have more success in these type of scenarios when they come up again, right?
Yeah.
I love it. Here's something that has really stood out to me the first time that I started researching and finding more out about this wonderful research from Carol Dweck. It was really apparent to me that individuals that are really good at this, that are really growth mindset oriented, have a healthy relationship with how they define success. Here's an amazing quote that I've always used because I think it is very growth mindset oriented from the famous John Wooden. I think Ted Lasso calls him John Obi-Wan Gandalf Kenobi Wooden or something like that in Ted Lasso. I forget
what a name,
but it's hilarious. Yeah. This is how he defines success, or how he said to define success. It is the peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. So, Ashley, here's kind of my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate with you? So it's kind of, what's your definition of success and how has that definition changed and evolved over your career?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would definitely say my definition of success has evolved from being totally attached to outcomes to now being attached to my effort, my learning, like my overall like perception of my performance and how I did. I feel like I'm like constantly like seeking to improve, and so that kind of like naturally helps that. But I think I learned this lesson pretty early on when I ran track in high school. I ran cross country first, and like I was like winning every single race, and then I went and ran track.
Doesn't surprise me.
It was in like junior high, so you know.
Still.
But and then I went and ran track, and I was doing like sprints and stuff, and I like wasn't always winning. I would get like maybe second or third, or like sometimes I would win, but I after my like quote unquote losses, because in track if you don't get first, you basically you lose. I remember talking to my dad, and he was still really proud of me because of my effort, because I like ran all the way through the line, or I didn't give up. And I feel like that's when I started, like the wheels started turning in my brain of like, oh, like I don't have to be upset about getting second or third. Doesn't mean I'm not going to want to get first every single time, because like, why wouldn't you want to get first every single time? Right. But if I'm not at the place, you know, like I'm not like physically fast enough, or I need to work on my form, or I ran the hurdle. So like learning that hurdle form I need to improve in these areas. And if I focus on myself and improving in those areas, then I will move up the ladder. But if I focus on like, I have to get first, like, then I might as well go run in the really slow heats, because then I'll get first, you know? So it's like kind of this balance of, do you want to actually like get better and push yourself? Or do you really only care about the outcome? Because if you really only care about the outcome, then you're going to probably sell yourself short and do less and try less. And that's not going to make you any better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with all of it. And it's amazing, Ash, and I, you could probably attest to this. It's amazing how much we do not have control of as it pertains to the outcome,
mm-hmm.
as it pertains to winning, really. I mean, if you're playing a sport, there are so many other pieces outside of your control, not to mention the entire other team that you're playing against that you have zero control over. And so from a very kind of duh standpoint, it's like, why would we waste time focusing, paying attention, putting effort into something we don't have control over? It doesn't make mm-hmm. sense. But there's yeah. so many people that try to place that as the utmost importance. I was just reading for like the third time, The Inner Game of Tennis. I know we've mentioned that on this podcast before. Mm-hmm. Timothy Galloway. Can't recommend that book enough, just like Carol Dweck's book as well. And he mentioned towards the end of the book, this exactly. He trains his players, because he's a tennis coach, to go into matches with this orientation. Essentially, in other words, going, I'm going to learn from my opponent, and hopefully my opponent can learn from me. And so rather than going in, I'm going to beat my opponent, it's simply, ooh, competition is such an amazing breeding ground for learning and putting forth effort. Because then if we have this orientation, when the last whistle blows, we can go, this is what I learned, this is what I learned, and this is what I learned, and this is what I can do better to be that much better moving forward against my next opponent. Mm-hmm. It's just such a healthy and wonderful way to look at competition, really, mm-hmm. and to disregard, I shouldn't say disregard, to not place time, attention, effort on an outcome when we have so much out of our control that will not be to our favor, right? And so we're losing that energy, we're losing that activity that we could be putting in much better and healthier places.
Mm-hmm.
I have two more things about this that I think are going to be helpful, and then we could probably wrap this up. What do you say about growth Sounds mindset?
Good. Yeah.
Here's the two things. One is that we've discussed in this podcast before. I think this was in season one, actually. Open goals, right? Mm-hmm. So non-specific exploratory type of goal setting rather than being smart or being specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and time-bound. Open goals, I'm not saying all of them and in every context, but they tend to be or tend to promote more of a growth mindset orientation because they're very learning oriented, effort oriented, non-specific. You're exploring what works and what doesn't work. And so another advocacy notch in my belt with open goals is it's going to promote this idea of growth mindset orientation. Here's the last tidbit to this, Ashley, and I want to get your take on this especially, is comfort really degrades growth and learning and progress. We have to be uncomfortable to make progress in arguably anything, really, if you think about it. Relationships, being married to your spouse, love takes work.
Mm-hmm.
Playing soccer, it takes a lot of work. Being a successful business person takes a lot of work. And so to get there and to find that progress, even if it's just really incremental progress, you have to go into things that are uncomfortable and unfamiliar. And so here's my question for you, Ash, and we can slowly wrap up with this if you want. When was a time you had to choose between staying comfortable and pushing into something unfamiliar or uncomfortable? And as a result, what happened?
I mean, I feel like every single season when our roster changes and, you know, or we have a new coach or playing a new system, and I have to be open to like learning and adapting and getting to know the tendencies of my teammates around me. I feel like our coach right now, our coaching staff does a really good job of putting us in uncomfortable situations and training by pushing us to like compete against each other, like defend like we would in the game and play different roles. I think they push us out of our comfort zone a lot, whether we're playing as a forward, but then now we're going to play as an outside back or we're going to play as a midfielder. And I think they also like don't make that big of a deal about it. They're just like, okay, you're going to try this today in training. And it's like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. Yeah. Whereas I've had coaches that are like, are you okay with this? Like, I think you can do it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, just like go do it and let's see how you do. And I feel like that allows players to kind of like develop that growth mindset skill for themselves and not like holding their hand and being like, it's okay, you can do this. Like, no, just like go do it and figure it out and you got it. So I feel like it's a constant thing for me. And when we play different opponents, like we're gonna press them differently because they have different tendencies, or that we're gonna find advantages different ways. And so I have to be open to trying new things. And I think a common misconception for a lot of people is the if it's not broke, don't fix it. But a lot of teams, if they're winning, they almost start walking on eggshells, like, oh, we have to do the exact same thing all the time. And then your focus and your attention goes only to winning, which is the result, the outcome. And then you actually start to see those teams, like their performance will kind of drop. They might still sneak away their wins just because they're like on a winning momentum, but you might see the quality of their training or their performances drop. And it's because they are so focused on the outcome. But teams that are winning, but still like changing things internally and challenging themselves and preparing themselves for challenges that they maybe haven't seen yet, they're the teams that are going to continue to get better and are going to continue to win because they're focusing on the daily like effort and the daily growth and the, okay, we're doing good, but we're not here yet. And I think it's kind of like ingrained sometimes in our culture of like, oh, they're winning. Like, we don't need to fix a thing. It's like, no, actually, like, you should probably be doing the opposite.
Mm-hmm. I love how you took that question and put it from a leadership perspective. Like, your coaches very implicitly are growth mindset orienting the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so going into unfamiliar, uncomfortable situations in theory is a thing and is something you all do, which obviously can be beneficial for something as high pressure and high stakes as professional soccer. And so when you go into the inevitable uncomfortable outside of your training grounds and into competition, it's going to be like, yeah, we've been here before. We've been uncomfortable before.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. We're growing. We're learning. We're putting effort where we need to. We're being growth mindset oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I got. What do you think? Was that helpful? Do you think people find this more unpacking of growth mindset stuff interesting and applicable?
Yeah. I think it's really applicable, and I think it's really important for all aspects of life and something that like even I'm consistently like working on. I think especially for younger players, recognizing like say after a loss or a mistake, it's okay, like you said, to be like upset about it, but like sometimes it's actually like more energy and more time sucking to hold on to that anger and upsetness for longer than you need to. You're actually going to be hurting yourself more than helping yourself if you like hold on to it for too long. And so a lot of like players will find some sort of outlet to help them like get over it. So for me, if I had a bad game or a bad match, I need to like go watch it back. So when I watch it back, I can see it from a different perspective, see it from a different angle, and then I'm able to let it go. Or like the PK, for example, I needed to go watch it back to just like address it and face it head on, and then I was able to let it go. So I, for younger players, if you're still figuring out how to let it go, those are some ideas. For me, when I was younger too, I just wanted to start practicing again. So if I had a bad game in the morning, like later in the evening, I would just go kick the ball against the wall, and then I would be able to let it go. So for me, I'm a very like action oriented person. I need to do something, and so go do something to help let it go, to help yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the action orientation to it. I'm a huge believer in stress and anxiety attaching to static orientation, to laziness, to not doing anything about it. It's really hard for anxiety and stress to latch onto something that's moving, physically, literally moving, like going and doing something about it. So beautiful example. Awesome. Ashley, what would you say your DO, I'm going to get this one time, one of these days, ditto of the day, DOTD is for this episode?
I wrote down lots of notes, but I think for me would definitely have to be detaching your identity from the outcome and reattaching it to your effort and your learning. That's probably the biggest skill that I've been able to develop that has gotten me to this point, and I know it's going to continue to help me continue to improve and also just enjoy life. Because if we are attaching our identity to the outcome always, it's going to be so up and down, and we're not going to really have that faith or confidence in ourselves if we're constantly attaching it to outcomes. So I think that is my ditto of the day, because I feel like it's really, really important.
Yes, it is. And in fact, it's essentially mine as well. Ooh. My
sorry to copy you,
but I'll swing it a little bit different. So yes, let's start attaching our identity to the effort itself, not the outcome, not the performance. One way that especially coaches and parents can do this is how you talk to your athletes. And so instead of saying after they got an A+ on a math test, "Gosh, you're smart." I know it's really hard to not say that. Say, "Oh my gosh, you put in so much work into preparing for this math test. Look how great you did as a result of your effort." Mm-hmm. Or, "Hey, I scored 5 goals at my game. Oh my gosh, you're the best soccer player in the world." Let's stay away from that. Instead, it's, "Look how much preparation and effort and learning you've had the last year of your life to be able to allow you to score that many goals. Man, bravo on the effort." And so I know there's so many ways that we can be better at implicitly and explicitly being more growth mindset oriented, yes, for ourselves, but for those that we're leading and those that we're coaching as well. So that's my DOTD.
Nice. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, of course. Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Please like, share, subscribe if you know someone in your life who could maybe benefit from learning a little bit more about growth mindset. Please feel free to share this with them, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.